The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to On the Bench. I'm Josh Newberg, and I've got Brendan Sinone here with me. It's just you and I for this instant reaction podcast as Florida State upsets North Carolina 35-25. Brendan, what is up?
Hello. This is a pleasant surprise, Joshua. I don't think any of us, you, myself, Chris Nee, who's covering the game live, or covering the press conference, I guess, now live, were expecting FSU to win by double digits in Chapel Hill. But here we are.
Here we are. Just an unbelievable win by Florida State behind a career day by Jordan Travis. The dual threat quarterback put all his tools on display in a career best 5-touchdown effort. Jordan Travis was 11 of 13 for 145 yards. He added a career high 121 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns on 14 carries. Jordan Travis looked like he was in control today, Brendan.
There's going to be so much to kind of diagnose and pick apart with what Jordan Travis did well, and we'll get into it here. And I'm really looking forward to rewatching the game and then doing the pod on Monday, Josh. But I think the thing that stands out most to me is the way Jordan carried himself, not just during plays, but afterwards too. He was smiling constantly. This is a guy who I'll put the cat out of the bag now. He did not practice much on Tuesday. He was limited on Wednesday. He was someone who they had to kind of rest that was not 100% still, that really needs this bye week coming up. But, man, whatever he had going through his veins and the adrenaline going on Saturday, he looked great. He was really sharp as a runner. The change of direction stuff was there. But then the passing game, and really credit to FSU's coaching staff for putting him in good position to get some one-on-ones and some nice screen plays, but to hit these chunk plays downfield. Keyshawn Helton, Ontario Wilson both come up big vertically. He is 11 of 13 for 145 yards, 3 touchdowns, not an interception, so that's an 85% completion percentage. Passer rating, whopping 254.5. I mean, yeah, the deep game is great for them, in addition to the run game, and then what that does for Trayshawn Ward and Jayshon Corbin. This was the game plan. I feel like that was kind of coming. This is a couple weeks in the making. We saw a little bit of Syracuse with them understanding like what they had to do to run the ball and then have the extension of the run game with the perimeter screen. They didn't do the perimeter screen game a ton today, I think because UNC was going a lot more man and kind of forcing them to keep things inside. FSU answers the call, takes the vertical shots, and Jordan Travis, rightfully the sod captain for this upset win.
Oof. And a couple guys besides Jordan Travis that I thought stood out. Malik McClain, the freshman wide receiver, catches his first touchdown pass as a Seminole. That was in the first quarter. I think that was the first score of the game for FSU.
And the first score of his career.
Shout out to Jerrion Jones. I've been a little bit critical of him in the first half of the season, but he had a huge interception that might have tilted the game back in FSU's favor. Florida State had about equal touches. I'm just looking through the stats right now. Trayshawn Ward had 12 rushes for 77 yards, and Jayshon Corbin 13 touches for 52 yards. A lot more balance there, Brendan. We've been asking for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they went with the hot hand. Trayshawn Ward was running a little bit better than Jayshon Corbin, and Jayshon Corbin, I think, got a little dinged up with the ankle in the second half. He continued to play, but Trayshawn Ward was running the ball well. So that helps. Yeah, I'm trying to look at like where the difference. I mean, UNC runs 14 more plays. FSU's one with yards per play, 7.1 to 6.4, excuse me. Here's the big difference. UNC penalized 12 times for 110 yards, FSU 5 times for 50 yards. So that's another game where FSU's low on the penalties.
And I feel like they had a bunch kind of early on. I mean, not a bunch, but like I know they had a false start. Dylan Gibbons got hit with a penalty early on. So not a pretty mistake-free second half.
There were two on the first two drives for sure. And also the one that Robert Cooper jumping offsides on that 4th-and-1 that keeps a drive going on UNC's second drive. So at least three early on there. And then so to the rest of the game outside of the first two drives on both sides of the ball. So yeah, clean game for FSU. But really, so like, let's get into the second quarter, man. I think that's real where this game, like that's where this game opens up for FSU. They outscore UNC 21-20 in the second quarter. And that's where you see both offense and defense kind of meld together and play off of each other, which is something that we've been clamoring for, right? A complete game, both teams playing well simultaneously. FSU to open up the second quarter on defense for, and this is coming off of a touchdown drive. FSU forces a three and out, just 1 yard for UNC on that drive. They get the ball back to the offense, and FSU goes and scores three plays, 65 yards. Was that the Pokey Wilson touchdown with the Jumpman, I think? That was the second score of the
late
game.
Late in the second quarter?
Yeah, I'm looking. Yes. That was a Jordan Travis 53-yard run. That was the second one, and then FSU goes, holds them, and then they cap off with the 32-yard pass to Pokey the second quarter. And then that was coming off of the Jerry Jones interception. So that's what happened there, if memory serves correctly. So you know, you see the defense forcing a three and out. You see Jerry Jones coming up with an interception, and then the offense sprinkles that in with hitting chunk plays. And that really, man, that's kind of where you open up the game in the second half. Then you're able to dictate terms of the game, which is huge.
I mean, they just got it done. 35-25, Florida State over UNC. It wasn't spectacular. I mean, Jordan Travis's performance was spectacular, but I'm just looking at some of the receiving yards now. Keyshawn Helton led the team with 3 catches for 71 yards. Ontario Wilson, 2 catches for 38. But 2 touchdowns there. Malik McClain had the 1 catch for 5 yards and a touchdown. Cam McDonald, 2 catches, 20 yards. So nobody really shining outside of Jordan Travis's numbers, which were just ridiculous. Do you think that Jordan Travis, I felt like for the first time, Florida State really had a command over the balance of the offense. For the first time, they were able to turn those screens and dink and dunk plays into big shots down the field later on in the game. Whereas like, it just hasn't really clicked like it did today. You feel that?
Yes. I mean, I felt like it was coming against Louisville in that game. And that was with Mackenzie Milton, and they were limited with what they can do, but you at least saw some semblance of like the RPO game. And then like understanding we have to get Trayshawn Warren, Jason Corbin more involved. Then Jordan Travis gets healthier and he gets inserted into the mix against Syracuse. Syracuse has a good defense, but kind of an unorthodox 3-3-5 stack zone heavy defense. So it's kind of a weird defense that you're attacking. But last week for them to score 33, I felt like I kept trying to like tell the fan base like 33 points for their personnel as dinged up as their offensive line is was impressive. And I felt like we started to kind of see Josh, like what they could do on offense with Jordan Travis. And mm-hmm. I mean, let me look at the numbers here, but I mean, for Jordan Travis, Trayshawn Ward, Jayshon Corbin had to be a steady dose of the offense here. Jordan has 14 rushing attempts, Trayshawn 12, Jayshon 13. If Chris was here, he could do that math in his head, but that's out of 54 plays. I mean, that's huge. And you also have Trayshawn Ward getting a couple receptions as well. Jayshon having one. So they understood, they started to figure out their identity. I think the big difference though today, Josh, one, Jordan hits on all of his passes. That was big last week. He missed some, especially when Syracuse went to man-to-man. That was one. Number two, the offensive line, for the first time since the season opener, they went into a game with their projected starting five, with the five that they thought that they could run with this season. Now, they lose DLT, but you have Maurice Smith, and you're able to put Bavion Johnson in at right guard. Out of the offensive line, with Jordan Travis as a runner, creating matchups and extra, you know, basically you get an extra blocker with Jordan Travis as a runner. That is the difference I think that you saw was with this offense clicking and being explosive. I mean, 35 points in two quarters.
I think there was a third key to this victory, Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt, Mike Norvell wearing a polo tucked into sweatpants. That was wild. I think he went out on the edge with that, and it put, you know, it put FSU over the top. I mean, how can you not play for a coach that wears an athleisure suit to the game?
You know, Mike Norvell's had some interesting wardrobe decisions. There was really baggy clothes against Jacksonville State that the fan base did not love. Which game was he wearing a hat?
Well, no, this was awesome. I mean, to tuck a 2-button polo into sweatpants, it's visionary, Brendan. But Florida State comes away with a 35-25 victory. We're talking about it right now. Chris Knee is currently in the Mike Norvell presser. He's not going to make it to this instant reaction podcast, but we'll get with him on Monday. We're also going to talk some recruiting on Monday. I know you guys saw the big Travion Williams news today on Knowles 24/7 about him reopening his recruitment without saying the word decommitment. Sam McCall might be looking around, but as we speak, Zach Blostein of Knowles 24/7 is talking to recruits, and there will be a story up tonight with recruit reaction. I don't know exactly who he's talking to, but he is working the phones right now. Whew. Brandon, any final thoughts?
The defense, you know, to hold UNC to 25 when UNC's averaging about, I think, 36 points a game going into it was huge. You keep Sam Howell to basically 53% completion percentage. He beats you with his legs somewhat, but you don't let the rest of the running backs really get going, so you keep them contained. The goal line stand that they had, so you get the one Jerrion Jones interception in the red zone in the second quarter, and then the goal line stand, was that in the third quarter or fourth? It was early fourth quarter. Regardless, it's late in the game.
Can we give Fuller's props at this point?
I mean, he definitely buys himself. I think he gets off the fan base, you know, putting him on the hot seat. He definitely gets off there.
I didn't even bring my hot board today. Instant Reaction podcast.
This is a celebratory podcast. FSU has an upset win as a major underdog and does so in what doesn't feel like a fluky fashion, man. So, yeah, FSU was depleted with its secondary, right? They had multiple injuries. They're depleted up front and limited with what they can do. They're out two defensive tackles. So you have all these things you have to kind of work around, and you play good situational football. You force Sam Howell to beat you deep, which was one of the keys that we had. Like, they love to throw the ball deep. You don't get killed by it. You make a play on it downfield, and then you play well situationally. Like, yeah, man, I mean, hats off, credit due. Like, FSU's defense played well, and I thought the scheme was pretty sound, given the limitations you're going to have personnel-wise entering the game. Oh, and a kickoff return of 41 yards, which, hey, that'll get you going, right?
Yeah. Here, Zach Blostein is reporting that five-star DB commit Travis Hunter went on IG Live with Jarvis Brownlee for the post-game locker room celebration. So for those keeping score at home, at least we know Travis Hunter was watching the game. And if Travis Hunter was watching the game, that's all that matters right now. So enjoy this victory. We will be back on Monday to talk about the rewatch, to talk about recruiting, to talk about FSU on a 2-win game streak, and to talk about everything else. Thank you for listening to this On the Bench Instant Reaction podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.